Brendan Crichton, state representative serving Lynn and Nahat, is joining us here on MSO News Sports. Brendan, great to be talking with you again.
Great to be speaking with you, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here and excited to have a conversation.
Yeah. Well, we got the Memorial Day weekend coming up. Maybe we can talk about that in a moment. But I know that's actually a busy time for you guys, isn't it? And in the elected field,
it is. And we had a really nice ceremony the other day in Lynn City Hall, recognizing all of those that made the ultimate sacrifice. Really good turnout, a wide range of veterans and families, and some Gold Star mothers with some really touching stories. So it was kind of the kickoff for the week. A number of good events where we hope to see the whole community, both in Lynn and the Hunt, out to support.
Yeah. So I know you have a parade in Nahat on Memorial Day morning and then in Lynn in the afternoon, correct?
I'm going to have to get my walking shoes. Hopefully it's a temperate day out there, but it's a great time of year, and certainly want to acknowledge all the service of our veterans, in particular those that made the ultimate sacrifice.
No, absolutely. Well, let's begin with some of the stuff that's making news. You're down in the State House, but I guess the budget piece, let's talk about that, because the budget debate now is going on in the Senate. The House has done their debate, but you guys could be coming back together for a conference committee and probably will. But what's your take and what's your insight on the budget as you know it right now?
So the Senate, as you mentioned, is deliberating right now. I believe they'll be wrapping up either tonight or tomorrow. So our budget, again, it was another tough year. We have a number of fixed costs, particularly in the areas of healthcare that limit how much new spending we can have. So we had a number of priorities as, you know, representatives, and certainly commend all the advocacy groups for reaching out to us to express their interests. You know, we did our best to fund and to provide the resources, but it was a challenging year, and I think the Senate's, you know, feeling that as well. So while things are, you know, doing generally well in Massachusetts in terms of the economy with a lot of these fixed costs, it has been a challenge. But I was pleased we made significant increases in the area of education, particularly, you know, local education, the Chapter 70 funding, which is so important to all of us.
Yeah, and hits all districts, supports all districts, and so on. Well, let's talk about economic development, Brendan, if we could, and some of the projects that are going on in Lynn. As you know, our website's covered a few of the stories, as have the other North Shore media, about the kind of the partnership with the state and with other partners in some of these projects that are impacting Lynn. So there's so many of them, it seems like, but maybe you could start with some of the latest updates.
Yeah, absolutely. So really, three key focus areas for the city of Lynn in terms of economic development. We have the downtown, the waterfront, and more recently the Boston Street Corridor, which is a commercial way that we're hoping to reinvigorate and provide new opportunities there. But the waterfront, you know, we were able to, a number of years ago, remove power lines through the efforts of the state. Former state representative, my predecessor, Steve Walsh, Senator McGee, Bob Fennell, that removal of the power lines really opened up so many opportunities on our South Harbor. If you move further up, we have more of an industrial working waterfront where, you know, Gorelick Farms and some of those commercial areas are. And then we get to the North Harbor, which we have right now a property owner that's planning on developing roughly 400 units of market rate housing. And one key piece of that is because of Chapter 91 regulations that they will have to provide public access to the water. So it's not just about, you know, building housing on the waterfront, but it's really connecting the neighborhoods of Lynn with what is really our, you know, our most precious natural resource here on the North Shore. And that boardwalk, coincidentally, will lead right to the ferry station, which anything in economic development now that you hear about it for gateway cities or even in Boston, it's transit-oriented development is really a top priority for us. So that's, you know, the waterfront in a nutshell. Moving downtown, obviously some really cool and interesting infrastructure in our downtown, you know, being an old manufacturing hub, really the shoe capital of the world, we still have a lot of those spaces that we're looking to repurpose for market rate housing and to really build on our arts and culture district. So no specific projects there. We have a few in Central Square that we're working on, but again, a commuter rail a few steps away from our downtown and our waterfront, really. I should mention the Washington Street Gateway project. It's really right in the middle of downtown, in right between downtown and the waterfront. You have views of the ocean. You can see the downtown as well. We're looking at roughly 100 units of housing there, right around the corner from where we're sitting. Yeah. So it's exciting for us. It's been a long time coming. And Charlie Gator, who's the executive director of Lynn Housing Authority, really worked hard for a decade or so to get that done. So some really good things happening. But you mentioned the collaboration, Bill, and it wouldn't be going as smoothly if we weren't all on the same page. So that's the local level with the city council, the mayor, EDIC, to the state level with the delegation, and also Secretary Ash and his team. Congressman Moulton has been very active, and also Senator Warren and Markey as well. So excited to have the gang all together to try to get some good things done here.
Well, probably a few follow-up questions here for you, Brendan. So now the GE property, tell me about that piece, because that there's also talk, and I know we may have talked about this before, but the train station, possibility of a train station, the GE property, and has that moved ahead at all in anything?
So it's still a discussion phase. I know some permits have been pulled. I don't know that there's any big news to report there other than things are moving forward. So the parcel that you're speaking of was the former Gear plant. The building, the structure has been removed. The vision there is, again, market rate housing with access to a commuter rail stop. It's kind of a chicken and the egg thing in that, prior to building, having the units built, certainly the state's a little hesitant to make a multi-million dollar effort to make that station available. And on the other end, the developer obviously wants to have that access to transit. But I think we're all on the same page that, an opportunity like that is very rare given space limitations. So that's one side of the GE property. I mean, if you look at a map of Lynn right now, the amount of space that GE has historically had, it's a good chunk of land. And unfortunately, with a number of their operations going overseas, a plant going down from, what was roughly 20,000 employees to a few thousand, certainly there's some land there that could be used for repurposing. So you have that big chunk of land there. On the other side, peppered throughout some Westland neighborhoods, we're trying to we're in discussions with the GE to, give that land back to the city, in that it was once a residential area. Now it's unused parking lots. Let's give it back and create a more wholesome neighborhood atmosphere.
Yeah. No, I got you on that. The other thing I know, project, Brendan, you've been so active in is the ferry and the commuter ferry that's run the last 2 years now. Does that sound right? And it doesn't look like it's going to be able to run this year. But why don't you update our listeners on that piece? Because there's a lot of news on that in the last year or so, and yet it still won't happen, I guess, this year.
Yeah. So it's it was a very successful 2-year pilot program. The physical structure was just completed, really 2 years ago. Senator McGee had worked hard on that. I previously worked for the senator, and that was one of the first projects I got to work on, and it was a great collaboration between local leaders in the state. So you're looking at roughly a $7 million investment in the infrastructure, $650,000 a year for a 2-year pilot program. As I mentioned before, all transportation subsidized, ferries are no different. So there is the need there for help from the state. Unfortunately, for the past year, we've been trying to find money to subsidize the operation through the state, and we have not been able to get it. $650,000 sounds like a lot when you're just thinking in terms of your own personal expenses, but transportation costs, it is very, very minimal. And our hope was that there would be funding to continue this. The ridership grew each year. The North Shore residents, it's not just about Lynn. We've heard loud and clear from Marblehead, Swampscott, Nahant, even Saugus, all over the place, that this Revere, actually, people will travel north to go south. Mm-hmm. And we haven't been able to find funds. We've applied for a few different things. The only one we've made progress with was a $4.5 million federal grant for the purchase of a ferry. Unfortunately, that is, the boat has not been built yet, so we can't use it this year. So we're really looking for that operating fund. There's still one more application pending with the Seaport Economic Council. We're hoping to hear from them over the next couple of weeks, but the operation should already have begun. So it's been frustrating in that, this was proven to be a successful operation. The 400 units that I mentioned earlier, I think the market rate housing on that North Harbor site, I don't think the developer would have been coming here had it not had direct access to our commuter ferry. And it gets cars off the road. We go into Boston every day, and you see what the traffic is, where you could take a 30-minute trip from Lynn to Boston instead of an hour and 50, an hour and a half. So we're hopeful, keeping our fingers crossed. We should have an update over the next week or two, but the fact that we don't have the service right now is already frustrating for us.
Yeah, I'm thinking with that commuter ferry, you do avoid a few red lights in Revere and maybe some slowdowns in one of the tunnels. I'm just thinking.
No, absolutely. It's a great point, and it's funny because the Lynn ferry, unlike a number of other ferries, is only on open water for a few minutes, so it could actually run, they estimate, 50 weeks of the year, even in winter storms and, you know, times where traffic is bad because of snowfall. You know, snow on the water doesn't really matter. So while it wouldn't be a pleasant, you know, trip sitting on the top of the deck, you could efficiently get to Boston in a half an hour, even in the dead of winter, which I think people would be interested in doing. I should also mention the city and its partner, EDIC, purchased a plot of land that's also abutting the ferry. We're looking to do some development there, potentially have the first floor will be water-related use, so most likely a ferry, you know, ticket booth and a place you can get coffee in the morning, and then the vision being down the line to have a restaurant or other amenities on top. Again, we're really too separated from our water as a city, and it's been too long.
And the one piece of land where you talked about earlier with the housing and the mixed-use housing, I think those are the terms you used, is the old Beacon Chevrolet lot, which is that curve right opposite North Shore Community College before you get to Seaport Landing or on the Linway there. And so that you would say would have had the walkway right down to the ferry, the boardwalk down to the ferry, which would have been actually very nice. You avoid walking down the Linway.
Yeah, so you really could. I think one of the only responsibly developed areas of our waterfront has been the Seaport Landing condominiums and some of those commercial and retail spaces there. But there's a boardwalk there, a DCIR-owned boardwalk, passes, you know, goes right by Lynn Marina. And then that boardwalk would essentially, that DCIR boardwalk would connect at Lynn Heritage State Park with the new Beacon Chevrolet or North Harbor. We're trying to rebrand from old Beacon, the new harbor site, and then connect it to the ferry. So really a whole new coastline there. And again, we're looking to have, you know, community programming and really put to use that water.
So when I say Beacon Chevrolet, you kind of bristle at that. Is that what I'm hearing?
It confuses some people, and other people know right away, oh, Beacon Chev site. Anybody who drives down the Linway or coming off Market Street, you've seen this wasteland before and probably scratched your head as to why it hasn't been. And really for the past 30, 35 years, I think there have been various plans to develop that site, but this is as far as the furthest we've been able to come, and a few other hurdles, maybe some legislative remedies to some of it, but you know, when everyone's on board, it's hard to stop the progress we're making.
I wonder, when was the last Chevrolet sold down there? I think it's been quite a while.
I think it
was a Nova. Might have been the last the last Chevrolet sold down there. I think it's been a while. I used to have one of those as a kid. Okay, now, any other transportation or business issues you want to talk about in Lynn as such?
Yeah, so we recently, so this is kind of wearing two different hats. I was on the city council up until January, and one of the last things we did in 2015 was establish a complete streets ordinance. So that ordinance makes us eligible for additional state funding so long as we consider, anytime we're reconstructing roadways or sidewalks, anytime you're making any type of really infrastructure investment in terms of transportation on the streets, that you consider all users. So it's not just about the folks that are driving cars, but it's pedestrians, it's the elderly, it's school kids, it's cyclists, it's the disabled. And if you look at some of the state roads that have been done, I think most recently probably the example the North Shore folks will know is the Broadway over by Flax Pond. That road construction project that leads into Wyoming Square, that's a good example of a complete streets project where you have really walkable sidewalks, you have very clear signals and directionals. So it really increases safety, but it also makes it easier for people to get where they want to go should they not, you know, be driving in a car. I have a newborn, well, he's 9 months now, and taking him for walks around the neighborhood really opened my eyes in terms of mobility issues that come when you're walking or if you're in a carriage or wheelchair, the lack of curb cuts, the lack of, you know, a proper crosswalk. I mean, we're way behind as a city in this ordinance. I think while we may not see all the results this year, I think long term it will really start to change how we get around. And I should also mention that it was ranked number 9th in the country by the Smart Growth Alliance for complete streets designs. And while I think Lynn's number 1 at everything, it's very rare that we're, you know, top 10 nationally for anything. So I applaud the council for their work there. And it's exciting to, you know, start to look at these new best practices for transportation development.
Gotcha. We're talking with Brendan Crichton, state rep from Lynn Nahant. Let me just ask you about the maybe a last kind of question would be on the fair share amendment and where what's that, and tell me more about that.
Absolutely. So last week we took up what is a constitutional amendment, which is it's very rare. We're required in our legislative session, a 2-year legislative session, to meet together with both the House and the Senate a few different times throughout the year, and it's very rare that you see debate on this. It's kind of a procedural, an old procedural thing, but this constitutional amendment would increase the income tax for those with income over $1 million a year, and it would be an extra 4% on the earnings above $1 million. So there's some misconceptions out there where that, you know, millionaires would be taxed. It's annual income. It is not, you know, based on your assets or anything like that. So the idea is that, you know, we are significantly underfunding transportation and also education, so the funds would be dedicated to those specific uses. So people that are concerned that, you know, we don't want to just throw more money into the pot for the legislature to spend willy-nilly, these are very specific priorities that I think overwhelmingly the people of Massachusetts are in favor for. And it would affect a very small portion of you know, the state's residents, but I think the greater good that it would, you know, create would be amazing. So anyways, we voted in favor of it. I forget what the exact vote total was, but we had the threshold. We needed to get 50 votes in favor. Well surpassed that. So the process works now that was a vote in one legislative session. The next session, we will have to vote. So next year in the 2-year session, we will have to vote again as a body to advance it. And then in 2018, should it pass in the legislature, it will be on the ballot before the voters of Massachusetts. So definitely more to be heard. This is really kind of the first step in the process, and this was a petition that was put together by a coalition of different groups, and I think, you know, there's different ways to look at it. It would be an additional tax, but I think with, you know, our income tax right now being reduced to 5.1, and it'll be at 5, you know, by the time this goes into effect, that a small percentage more for our, you know, higher income earners won't. It's not going to send people fleeing across the state. It's just on that additional income over $1 million. So, and if you drive down any street in Massachusetts, or if you look at some, you know, the challenges around education funding, whether it's for pre-K, you know, K through 12, or, you know, community colleges, we're not at a sustainable level for the future. So this will put us in a much better position.
Gotcha. All right, Brendan, good talking with you, and thanks for spending some time with us, and we'll be in touch soon.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for your time, Bill.
Yeah. Brendan Crichton, state rep from Lynn and Nahant, here on MSO, newsports.com.